Welcome to episode 4 of the Leader of Learning podcast. In this episode, we discuss teacher leadership through ambassadorships. The idea for and the premise for this episode stems, and it's probably taken me a little bit longer to get around to this than I wanted, but it stems from a September 2nd New York Times article written by Natasha Singer addressing the quote-unquote issue, ethical issue of teacher ambassadorships. I back up for a second to discuss that teacher leaders have found this as a new way to lead in their schools, in their areas, and maybe even around the country and more globally as ambassadors for ed tech companies to promote their product and to bring it into the hands of more and more students. That might be students at their school, that might be students at other schools. This particular article seemed to go back and forth regarding the issue while trying to raise awareness and bring attention to teacher ambassador programs, but at the same time attacking it a little bit as well. I personally was sort of confused by the message that was in the article, and that's why in this episode, in a few minutes, I speak with Josh Tappan, who leads the ambassador program for an ed tech company called Nearpod. Their ambassador program is called the Pioneer Program, and Nearpod has several dozen or a couple of hundred pioneers who are ambassadors for their product. Let me start by sharing some of what I found in this article. First of all, I found this quote to be probably the main idea, let's say, of the article. It says, "The corporate courtship of these teachers brings with it profound new conflict of interest issues for the nation's public schools." There were even a couple of times where the author of the article seemed to be positive and putting a positive spin on teacher ambassadorships, saying things like the benefits to companies are substantial and that many startups enlist their ambassadors as product testers and de facto customer service representatives who can field other teachers' queries. Later in the article, she even mentions that Tim Jacobson, a principal at an elementary school, offers a different view where he describes the company-teacher relationships as mutually beneficial for both schools and the edtech industry. In the article, two teachers are mentioned by name who are part of ambassador programs. First, Kayla Delzer, who has her own brand, Top Dog Teaching, and is at least an ambassador for Seesaw. And Nicholas Provenzano, who he brands himself as the Nerdy Teacher and is a Raspberry Pi ambassador and a Google certified educator. But then the article seems to go on the attack against teacher ambassadorships. And I'll read to you just some of the quotes from the article that attack these ambassador programs. In the article, the author says that some of the ambassador programs give the teachers inexpensive gifts like free classroom technology or t-shirts, or with more established startups, even giving pricier perks like travel expenses to conferences, or that in exchange for these perks, teacher ambassadors will promote company products on social media or in conference presentations, sometimes without explicitly disclosing their relationships with the sponsors. She goes on to say that some education experts warned that company incentives might even influence teachers to adopt promoted digital tools over rival products or even more traditional approaches like textbooks. Later in the article, it says that public school teachers who accept perks, meals, or anything of value in exchange for using a company's product in their classroom could also run into potential ethics policies that are established by their school district or even their state. She compares teacher ambassador programs to problems in the medical profession, where she asks, can pharmaceutical company gifts like speaking fees or conference junkets influence doctors to prescribe certain medications? Further in the article, she says that the Federal Trade Commission considers sponsored posts like those that a teacher ambassador might put out on Twitter, to be a form of advertising. It expects people who receive a product, meal, or anything else of value from a company in exchange for promoting a product to disclose that sponsorship when they endorse the product. And finally, the author of the article says that companies that tap public school teachers to use or promote their product in exchange for perks are effectively engaging the educators as consultants, a situation that could conflict with teachers' obligations to their employer or their school. So while you could probably tell already which side of the issue or the argument I sit on, I wanted to go right to the source. I wanted to bring in Josh Tappan, who is Nearpod's customer advocacy manager. Nearpod is an edtech company with a successful teacher ambassador program called the Pioneers, of which I'm a part of. And I really wanted to get Josh's personal thoughts and maybe even the company's perspective on this article and how they see this issue regarding teacher ambassadors. Here's my interview with Josh. All right, so I have Josh Tappan here, and just before we move on any further, if you could, tell us about yourself, your background, how you came to Nearpod, and of course, the work that you do there.
Awesome. Thanks for inviting me, Dan. And so I am currently the customer advocacy manager at Nearpod. That includes kind of designing and owning a lot of our teacher community programs, including the Nearpod Pioneer Program, the Nearpod Certified Educator Program, and really trying to engage that community. So keeping teachers active, providing them with professional growth opportunities, and also kind of providing a platform for the teachers in those communities, the educators in those communities, to really tell their stories, whether that's through our marketing team or through training, conferences, professional development. So the idea is that we engage a community of educators and then share professional opportunities with them that they're welcome to pursue if they choose to. And as far as my background, so before joining Nearpod almost 3 years ago, I worked for about a year at an education foundation that was investing in early stage education technology companies, as well as a lot of other education and community-based initiatives. That's where I met Guido, the CEO of Nearpod. And before that, I was a middle school teacher. I taught middle school science in Atlanta, Georgia.
We share that in common. Isn't middle school teaching like the best?
Yeah, everyone, even other teachers, like elementary school teachers and high school teachers, even they always say, "Oh, I don't know how you do it," but I really enjoyed it. It was, cool to kind of shape and guide students as you saw them kind of grow up from, elementary schoolers to almost to become a little bit more mature and getting them ready for high school. Which is
It's such an interesting, awkward time in life. And I always tell people, in my opinion, and maybe I'm a little biased, but it takes a special someone to be a school teacher.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Now, if you could, just take us back for a second. And sure. You spoke about the Pioneer Program, and we will get to that in a minute. But even before that, I'm hoping that our listeners will know Nearpod and be familiar with it. It's obviously something that I love and I'm really passionate about. But just in case, tell people what Nearpod's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. So Nearpod is an interactive teaching platform where first teachers can either create from existing PowerPoints, Google Slides from scratch, or they can download. We have over 5,000 ready-to-teach lessons. So first you create a lesson that consists of multimedia and formative assessment activities. Then you teach it. And when you teach with Nearpod, you can synchronize student devices. And that allows you as a teacher to kind of share multimedia activities, websites, virtual field trips, video, audio. So really giving students, multiple ways to learn new content. And then there are a bunch of formative assessment activities, such as our collaborate boards, draw it, open-ended questions, quizzes, polls, so that teachers can involve students more actively in the learning process during a lesson, as well as get instant feedback from students, so they know exactly where 100% of their class is at in terms of their comprehension and understanding of what the lesson's about.
Yeah, and I love the way that you led by saying that Nearpod is super interactive, and that's why I love it so much. And you know, I could go on and on talking about Nearpod, and sometimes I do. You know, as a pioneer, I get to go out there and share my passion for Nearpod with other schools. But let's talk about that for a second. Being a sure. pioneer and the ambassador program, which at Nearpod is called the Pioneer Program. Just explain that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Pioneer Program is Nearpod's kind of team of extended team of really education experts and some of our top most passionate users who we really consider kind of an extended part of the Nearpod team, where, you know, pioneers apply for the program. We look for people who have extensive history of Nearpod usage. We look for people who are comfortable facilitating professional development and workshops, whether or not that's on Nearpod. And we look for people who just in generally can understand and explain the tool in a way that connects to how it impacts teaching and learning. So we're really looking for people who kind of understand that link between the platform and teaching and learning outcomes. And then as far as when people join, you know, we have taken an opt-in approach. So, you know, we want people who kind of fit the qualifications to become pioneers. And then we share opportunities with pioneers throughout the year to either give product feedback, to lead workshops at other schools and districts, to attend conferences with us and present to other teachers. And, you know, we want to support pioneers if they have opportunities of their own that they want to pursue.
Excellent. And in full disclosure, and I say this because I'm going to ask a couple of relatively tough questions in a minute, I want to explain that I am not only a Nearpod pioneer, but I am an ambassador for a couple of other companies. Having mm-hmm. said that, in my opinion, Nearpod does a fantastic job of running their pioneer program and treating us pioneers like we really are a very big part of the company and of making sure that this product gets in the hands of as many teachers and students and schools as possible. So my next question then is really going back about a month, your response to a New York Times article that came out early September about ambassador programs. And to be honest, in my opinion, the article was a little bit confusing in terms of its message, but did maybe take some shots at ambassador programs. What was your response to that?
Yeah, so that article obviously hit close to home as kind of owning the Pioneer program. And it really had us reflect on how we approach the Pioneer program and how we kind of approach, you know, engaging our communities of teachers. You know, a couple of things that we make clear when we onboard pioneers. First of all, the goal is never to have someone kind of promote the tool directly, like for compensation or for some sort of referral fee, like within their school or district. I think that the article had mentioned people doing that or requiring people to lead a certain amount of workshops per year or refer a certain amount of teachers. That's really not how we approach it. Like, I understand, and we as a company understand that, you know, educators' first priority are going to be, like, one, their classroom, if they're in a classroom, two, their school, if they're a school level employee, and three, their district. And all the opportunities that we are going to share are going to be opt-in, meaning, you know, we're not, you know, as you know, Dan, you know, we're not keeping track and booting people out or kind of ranking people or putting pressure on people who aren't necessarily leading workshops. You know, we know that everyone's first priority is going to be their full-time job, as it should be. So, you know, we share opportunities and people have the freedom to either participate in those or not. And, you know, we have pioneers come from a range of schools and districts. You know, many schools and districts support people who, you know, maybe want to attend a conference during the year, and some don't, and that's fine. And we keep track of that stuff, and we respect people who have kind of differing levels of availability and participation. So that's one thing that I think the article had highlighted. These ambassador programs are giving teachers kickback and perks to kind of sell their software in their schools. And I would say that's, you know, we take a little bit of a lighter approach where, like I said, there's no kind of prerequisite for you or anyone else to kind of lead a certain number of trainings in your school or whatever. And that was, you know, one thing that we thought even after reading the article that we were kind of on the right path. And I think one thing that the article missed a little bit is that a lot of times teachers are doing these things informally, whether it's leading workshops or trying to take on like leadership roles in their school or leading trainings or professional development. And this isn't the case with every school, but sometimes, you know, one thing we commonly hear from pioneers is that they want these opportunities, but they aren't necessarily there in their school or district. And some schools and districts know that. So they're happy to kind of have someone externally supporting teachers and giving them professional opportunities, whereas, you know, budgets or in district or in school priorities might not allow for that.
So first of all, thank you for all that and your opinions. You know, I got to be honest, when I first read the article, I did feel like it was a bit of a, you know, I guess for a lack of a better term, personal attack on me and other ambassadors. And I can certainly see how you and your position would have taken it personally. I almost compare it to a basketball player or some kind of professional athlete who is making commercials or advertisements selling sneakers, let's say. Mm-hmm. They're not necessarily going out and saying, you cannot buy another brand of sneaker. They're just saying, this is the one that I like the best and that I support. And, you know, yeah, of course they make money and maybe they get free sneakers out of the deal too, but that's a company using a professional athlete, or in this case, an educator, to say, we love the product and we hope that more people use it. And so I guess my next question would be like, what's your opinion of, let's say, potential legal or ethical issues, or are there any that are related to teachers being used as brand ambassadors?
Yeah, I would say there definitely are. I mean, there are certainly, you know, school or district conflict of interest policies, and, you know, we kind of expect every pioneer, and there have been some who have upfront kind of said, hey, I'm happy to join this community to grow my professional learning network, but what I can't do based on my school or district contract is enter into any sort of consulting agreement. You know, we you can't sponsor me to attend conferences. I'm unable to lead trainings during the school year or over the summer at different schools. And I think that's a school to school and a district to district approach, which again, like, we completely respect. I think that, you know, there is a very clear line at, you know, we are not taking the approach of whether it's sponsoring or compensating people for increasing the usage of Nearpod or selling Nearpod in their school or district. I mean, that to me is like a hard and fast line that and a clear conflict of interest. You know, I mean, imagine, you know, even in my position at Nearpod, I mean, if they found out that I was, you know, a paid sponsor for a certain software that we use internally, I mean, that is unethical no matter which industry you're in, if you're kind of promoting that with kind of ulterior motives, which is why, you know, as I mentioned before, a lot of it's opt-in. We take the approach that, hey, your school or district priorities come first. However, if you're supported in that, and if this falls, you know, outside of within what your school or district allows, then we want teachers out there representing us and sharing Nearpod, because from our perspective, I mean, who better to share the tool and to talk about the benefits of the tool and to get other teachers on board than other educators who are using it. But we definitely, definitely draw the line at, you know, compensating or sponsoring pioneers for, you know, promoting or selling Nearpod in their district. That's not something that we're ready to do. And that's something that from the beginning, we've kind of taken a stance of that would be, you know, unethical.
Right, right. Well, I appreciate all those comments and your opinions, because I think that it is a bit of a tricky subject, you know, some gray areas in there in terms of, like we said, the ethics of it. And so I appreciate you sharing. I guess final question, just to turn it back to the product and the company, where's Nearpod headed with their product and maybe the Pioneer program itself?
Yeah, so the Pioneer program, you know, we continue to want to make that kind of an integral part of our company. You know, we have seen again that teachers by nature, when they find, you know, an effective teaching strategy, a great lesson plan, a great tool, a great product, you know, they want to share it with other teachers. So, you know, having formalized a program about that has been, you know, to our benefit, and we think to the pioneers' benefit and to the benefit of the teachers who they're talking to, who can really hear about those kind of authentic classroom experiences straight from other educators. So we want to continue to grow that, you know, continue to add resources and support to our Pioneer program. We plan to have another kind of Pioneer Summit in 2018, which is kind of a weekend of professional development for our pioneers that, you know, people have given pretty awesome feedback about in the past couple of years. We also, I mean, on the product side, you know, we continue to want to improve our core product, which is, you know, the ability for teachers to create or download lessons, sync student devices. You know, we continue to, improve and make, both technical and, you know, UX improvements to our platform. And, you know, as you'll see, we added a new feature recently around, we integrated with FET simulations. So we want to continue to give students an opportunity to kind of interact and explore and kind of make meaning of learning within the lesson. Not just maybe like one way, you know, presenting from the teacher as the expert to the student as the kind of learner. We want students kind of actively learning, and we continue to kind of find opportunities in the product to do just that.
Yeah, I love that. Actually, one of my personal or professional goals really heading into this school year as an instructional coach at my school was to say, look, we've gotten pretty good at this technology thing now as teachers presenting information and bringing content to students. But I think it's about time that we kind of make that switch over to having the students create more content with it. And I think Nearpod is a perfect platform for students to be able to use to do that. So before I let you go, if you could just tell people how to find Nearpod, and maybe for educators who could be interested in becoming certified educators or pioneers, where do they go for that information, and maybe what should they look for?
Yeah, absolutely. So to kind of get on board with Nearpod or to try it out, you can go to nearpod.com and sign up. Anyone who signs up gets kind of a free 30-day trial period for our gold or premium membership. But anyone can use the product for free. You know, we don't necessarily want cost to be a limitation. Obviously, we have to stay in business, so there are school and district options with kind of upgraded features and storage and access to our 5,000 plus pre-made lessons that I mentioned before. Certified Educator Program is kind of a certification and community program that will recognize you as someone who's kind of proficient with the Nearpod platform. And you can find information about that at nearpod.com/certified-educators. And similarly, the Pioneer Program, spelled Pioneers, nearpod.com/pioneers. And you can also find either of those programs on the footer of our homepage.
Excellent. Well, I thank you so much for your time, and I appreciate your opinions and your comments regarding the Ambassador Program and the Pioneers. And like I said, I love the work that you guys are doing, which is why I am very proud to be a Nearpod Pioneer, but I really appreciate it. Thanks so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you, Dan.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate Josh for coming on here, sharing his thoughts and feelings, and maybe even Nearpod's about teacher ambassador programs and potential ethical issues that they may bring with them. As far as my take, here goes. I really want this podcast to be dedicated to educational leadership and teacher leadership. So I think that at the end of the day, just like any decision that should be made in education, it all goes back to what's best for students. To me, this is a form of teacher leadership. Having educators serve as ambassadors for educational technology products or companies should be a great way of getting effective instructional products into the hands of students, other teachers, and other schools. Just like the point I brought up with Josh in the interview, I think it's much the same as a professional athlete who endorses some kind of sporting apparel, shoes or clothes or anything. They do it to bring awareness and attention to the company, to the product. And while yes, they're getting paid to do that, they're not telling anyone out there not to buy other products. They're highlighting the positives of whatever product they are endorsing. Anyway, I would love to hear where you stand on this issue, which side of the debate you fall on. I encourage you to reach out. You can find more information about this episode and this podcast at leaderoflearning.com/podcast. You can also find Leader of Learning on Twitter at Leader of Learning, and leader is spelled LDR, so it's at LDR of Learning, or email me, dan@leaderoflearning.com. As always, please subscribe to this podcast. You can find it on Google Play, iTunes, or anywhere where podcasts are listened to. And I thank you so much for tuning in. Please join me next time. Take care for now.